Join me in the play.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can I get a roll call, please?
Commissioner Howell?
Here.
Commissioner Stevens?
Here.
Commissioner Rainey?
Here.
Vice Chair Gardena?
Here.
And Chair Blumenberg?
Here.
Thank you.
Move on to approval of the minutes from our September 18th meeting. And I'll say this set of minutes was a little bit more complicated, and appreciate Reed's input to help sort that out. But commissioners, have you looked at the minutes? Thoughts on the minutes? Anybody want to make a motion to approve the minutes?
Move approval of the minutes.
I second.
All right. I have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from our September 18th meeting as presented. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none opposed, we have approved the minutes from September 18th.
Did we adopt the agenda?
We did adopt the agenda. Didn't I go through that?
No.
Oh.
I move approval of the agenda as presented.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No? Thank you. I crossed it off the list. But moving too fast. All right, public communication. So this is an opportunity for the public to testify on items that are not on tonight's agenda. Do we have anybody in the audience who wants to speak? Anybody online that would like to speak? We have no public communications tonight. We'll close public communications. Move on to our closed session report. Council.
Chair Blumenberg, members of the board. The board met to discuss the two items on the closed session agenda, and instruction was given to staff, and no formal action was taken that requires disclosure.
Thank you. All right, we'll move on to board communications, an opportunity for commissioners to present brief reports on issues related to the Port District. Commissioner, is anything to share tonight?
I just have one very brief one that I, at the workshop, met Natasha, I forgot to look up her last name, from Ventura West, and she invited me on a tour, and I did a brief tour of the facility over there, and she showed me the what their concepts, but, and I'm looking forward to her presentation to the board.
Just I was able to pop into Loose Cannon the first weekend it was open, and it's exciting to see it finally open and the fire pits outside, and I'm looking forward to having it as part of the harbor.
Yeah, I look forward. I've got to do my homework and get out there. All right, we will close board communications and move on to our staff and general manager reports.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've got a couple of village items and then a couple of other updates as well. Happy to report that the Ventura County Readers again voted Ventura Harbor Village for most fun for kids and adults in the VC Reporter, their best of series for 2024. And congratulations to Harbor Village businesses who were voted by readers as well. First place winners included Andrea's Seafood Restaurant and Market, Brophy Brothers, The Greek, and Ventura Dive and Sport. And then voted, reader recommended some of the same names: Andrea's Seafood, Brophy's, Coastal Cone, Barefoot Boutique, and Frenchie's Modern Nail Care. So that's great to see our harbor businesses being recognized. A reminder that all are invited to the Halloween weekend full of activities at Ventura Harbor Village, starting with the Witch's Paddle on the water for Friday, October 25th at 4 p.m. Then on Saturday for the annual dog costume contest, Halloween on Saturday, October 26th at noon. And finally, the annual Seaside Trick or Treat and festivities on Sunday, October 27th from noon to 2. I think we mentioned last time Ventura Pottery Gallery Market and Bowl of Thanks returns to Ventura Harbor Village on in November for the 9th and 10th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Live music, ceramic vendors, and seaside tastes with several of our village restaurants and eateries will be featured. The Bowl of Thanks proceeds benefits Food Share, of Ventura County. Tickets for the Bowl of Thanks and Market can be purchased on the event day at the Ventura Pottery Gallery. The NSSA Surf Competition returns again on November 9th and 10th to Ventura Harbor's South Beach. A couple of entitlement-related things and openings. You've mentioned the Loose Cannon opening at 1567 Spinnaker Drive. That was on Friday, October 4th, so about a week and a half ago. Of course, excited to see the new Family Fun Center and restaurant up and running. We did want to extend a thank you to city building official Tim Fisk for personally inspecting the premises while City Hall was closed that Friday. Came out, did that, and thanks to Aaron Running, our tenant, for taking that opportunity to open within about 2 hours of getting that final inspection. So I don't know how he pulled staff together that quickly, but they were open. We had a couple of other things to note from a public hearing earlier this week on Monday. The proposed next door to the Loose Cannon, as we begin our work on building out that space and tenanting and so on, the proposed facade and patio improvements at 1575 Spinnaker Drive adjacent to Loose Cannon were approved by the city's design review committee. That was back in August. There was a subsequent hearing that was originally scheduled for September that got postponed. But that was held on Monday night. Todd, Joe, and myself were there along with architectural team members for that project, and it was approved at what's called a director's hearing. And with that approval now, our architect team from Rasmussen will begin preparing the detailed building plans that will be submitted to Building and Safety. That'll take a bit of work. And we'll get a schedule from them on that. But it was great to have that approval. We got a lot of nice feedback from Rachel Diamond, the community development director, who is the hearing officer on the plans and how we had modified those based on some of the feedback we had received from the city's design review committee to elevate the design a little bit more. So that was nice to see. That same night, same hearing, we had our proposed Ventura Harbor North monument sign at Schooner and Harbor Boulevard had also gone to DRC in August, same night. That came out of DRC with just a couple of minor comments. Coastal Architects worked on that for us, was with us as well for the Monday night hearing. And that was approved along with our banner program that Jennifer and Ruby have been working on, that you've started to see the banners coming up around the harbor. Those were initially going to have to go through a re-permitting every 3 to 4 months. With the approval on Monday night, they've been folded into the harbor's signage program as an element of our placemaking and signage program, so that no longer will have to go back every 3 or 4 months for approval. It's now permanently part of the plan. They did extend some additional opportunity for special events on Monday night to add that to the permit that we would have to go back for to put in a special event activity, but it's an allowable use within the program itself, which was great. Schooner design, sign design will be submitted in probably the next 2 weeks to Building and Safety to go through the permit process. And then, of course, after that, we'll take it out to bid. So that is alongside all the other work that's going on at that parking lot for our new boat storage and our parking area as well. So, and it looks like a question might be coming, possibly. One other item quickly, Surfers Knoll and Harbor Cove Beach Restroom Improvement Project was approved by the California Coastal Commission on Friday, October 11th, so just last Friday, for each of those two beach areas, and that will allow us to begin to move forward on that project as well. So a lot of great entitlement work, a lot of good effort from the architects and the staff here to get these to this point. So I do have another topic, but did you have a question? Okay. I wanted to shift from here. Of course, you have all the departmental reports in the packet, so if there's any question on any of those, we've got staff here to answer those. But one report in particular has been time sensitive, which is dredging. And some issues with regards to Army Corps permitting for the dredge activities, not only here, but at Channel Islands Harbor. And I've asked Todd to give an update and sort of amplify the issues identified in the report. Todd, go ahead.
Thank you. I won't reiterate what's already included in the departmental report on dredging. I'll just give a few summary statements, but happy to answer any questions. But per that report, the Corps of Engineers and the Los Angeles Regional Water Quality Control Board were at odds related to what's called a 401 certification that's issued by the Water Board for the Corps to perform dredging. In response to us being notified by our Corps projects manager, this was an issue affecting both us and Channel Islands Harbor. CMANC raised the issue, and during our visit to Washington, D.C. 2 weeks ago, we met with the head of civil works for the Corps of Engineers and one of their attorneys. The response at that meeting was alarming to us, and CMANC and our agencies took action. In particular, the general manager sent correspondence to our federal members of Congress, senators, our state assembly member, our state senator, and Channel Islands Harbor and Port of Hueneme have done the same now as well. The efforts of our collective staffs and the representatives brought about a meeting between the conflicting agencies last Tuesday, and by Friday of last week, the LA Water Board provided the Corps draft amendment. Just between closed session and now, I got an update on that we are in a good place on that. So the 401 certification appears to be largely resolved. I think there's still some wherefore thou shalt as language that needs to be tweaked, but materially they're on the same page there. However, the schedule for Channel Islands is now about 6 weeks behind. Unless drastic action is taken, Channel Islands Harbor, Ventura Harbor, and probably Oceanside, which follows us, are likely to be impacted by a reduction in the volume of dredging material that can be dredged just because of the constraints of the time frame. Core staff do not necessarily agree. They think, well, we'll be fine unless there's weather, unless there's a mechanical issue. We know that to be a reality that they are choosing to ignore and consider only a possibility. So this afternoon, we co-signed a letter from Channel Islands, Port of Hueneme and Port Hueneme, both, requesting the Corps to sole source the contract of dredging to Manson Construction to expedite the start of work. Manson has their dredge literally en route between Seattle and California at this time. It could go straight there. The letter went to the commander of the division, commander of the district, and the director of contracting. And as I mentioned, I had a call just between closed session and now saying it's a bit of a Hail Mary. Let them try and do their thing. But they don't believe that the contracting will consider this an emergency the way we see it as an emergency. And so therefore, we're probably just going to see less dredging than we'd like. But the sense of urgency is very strongly felt all the way up, and even the commanding general of the Army Corps is watching this project now. So, I think we've managed to do all we could, and knowing that the Channel Islands Harbor will go to bid tomorrow, where our backstop is still decent, but the Hail Mary is in play. So we'll see what happens. I'm happy to answer any questions, and I'm sure Brian too.
Are the time constraints due to our permit?
No. So the Corps of Engineers, they have an environmental window permit that's constrained by Grunion runs, lease turn. Effectively, theirs is a bit softer than ours. Ours is a pretty firm March 15th. Theirs, if they have 24-hour monitoring of Grunion runs on the full moon and the new moon nights, they can eke out a few more days. But they also have a constraint to be finished Oceanside and all pipes off the beach by Memorial Day. That's not an environmental window. That's considered a safety concern to be out of the way. And they will not budge on that. And we have been pinned between the two projects, 2 years running, looking like it's going to be three. So.
Other questions, Tony?
I just, when I was reading the report, just wanted to commend Harbor Patrol in terms of the challenges particularly with staffing and having folks have to work extra, but still getting the job done. And I just wanted to let them know it doesn't go unnoticed. And thank you.
I have one brief comment. I neglected during board communications to say that I got Brian and Todd and John Higgins took me on my harbor tour and gave me quite the education on dredging and a number of the issues. It was very thorough and very much appreciated. Helped me understand all these complexities and the issues you're dealing with.
Jackie.
Yeah, I just have two questions. I wanted to follow up on what Tony said in terms of the Harbor Patrol being understaffed and just wondering, just because safety is one of part of our primary mission, is there a short-term plan to help supplement the staff or kind of, I was going to ask John kind of what the plan was, but.
Yeah, they've worked on their scheduling over the next, you know, relatively short period of time. I think, you know, 4 weeks, 6 weeks or so. Yeah, there are a couple of personnel matters that I think are confidential.
Yeah.
But other than that, I would say yes, they are have worked on their staffing plans. There's okay. Also been a several new MSOs, our marine safety officers that have just joined the Port District, and they're supplementing some of the staff services as well.
Okay, because I know that the Harbor Patrol has been really good about helping the city and others when time is needed. And I didn't know if there's an opportunity to rely on them in a like way for emergency services.
Yeah, I think that's a great point and something we'll certainly take a look at.
I think the other question I had to do with the vehicle traffic counts. I'm just curious how important that data gap is, given that we are planning to implement next year. Just what's the meaning behind the data gap other than it obviously malfunctioned?
Yeah, I think the biggest disappointment has been that the data gap, I'm saying it the Canadian way, data gap, is has fallen at the critical part in squid season in October. We have not yet had a complete October since the system is operational. I also don't remember the last time we wrote them a check for their services. So. One of the solutions to that, I think I mentioned in the report, is that we probably need to put a license plate recognition camera on Spinnaker to observe cars coming in to start a grace period for when they would be able to go to a machine and pay. And a lot of those systems are super capable, and I'm more likely to want to just wait till we implement that, which is only a few months away. And the supplier has made all sorts of promises that they've not really lived up to, but like I said, I don't remember the last time we cut them a check. So,
and so don't.
Yeah, exactly.
And so just so I'm clear, if we're going to implement that, is that going to be brought back with the mid-year budget?
No, well that would technically be part of the procurement, which the board will eventually approve.
Okay, separately.
For the parking management assets.
Okay.
And so. It's just one more of the pieces of equipment that needs to be part of that acquisition.
Okay, thanks.
I thought this is a different part of the agenda, but it looks like it's this on the save boat disposals. Is this appropriate? I'm getting concerned how many boats that we are working to dispose on, and we're just going to become the dumping ground for marinas. Is it worth having? I had a brief conversation with John Higgins some time ago, but I know he's working, trying to work softly with the marinas to encourage them to do more inspections to try to reduce the problem. But I'm wondering if we need to look at taking any more action or studying the issue to see, you know, if can staff come up with recommendations? Can we find a way to put financial onus on the marinas themselves so that we don't keep getting stuck with these boats? Maybe they put some money in escrow or something. I don't know how we approach this, but I'd certainly like to see it stop becoming a problem for the district, these boats.
Yeah, I'm happy to follow up with John, and I know he gives reports on those pretty regularly. So maybe in our next monthly report, we'll get some updated information on that as well.
That'd be great, because I know he's trying to work the issue hard, and I'm just, I want to stay on top of it to see whether we need to try to do anything more to help enforce, give him more tools
Yeah,
or
I
whatever.
appreciate that. We'll follow up on that.
And then the only other question is, I hadn't seen the 911 dispatch calls before, and it's quite lengthy. I know that he's been very busy. Is this a typical month?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's all I've got. Thank you.
Chris, did you have some? Please.
Couple quickies, kind of getting in the weed. Do you need a planning permit for the entry work at Spinnaker, or just a building permit?
In essence, what we just went through was a coastal development
It
permit.
was.
Yeah,
Okay.
it was.
And
So it
so
was a planning permit.
and
Yeah.
it's been it, so that's been issued. What's left is
Yeah, I
to.
mean, I suppose technically there's an appeal period,
Okay.
but it was approved on
Okay.
Monday night. So it ended up being both sides of community development planning first, and now building and safety.
You have the renderings that you just had approved by the city or posted out there and asked for opinions. I'm just curious, are you getting any feedback from people from, with the village who are seeing those renderings, and are they commenting?
Well, I mean, in terms of the hearing, which is sort of the formal versus the
Right.
informal, there were no speakers on Monday night. When we were at DRC, there were folks that were there for another item who said, "Well, while I'm here and I see this, I'll give some feedback." And so that feedback was incorporated to a degree in the final design. I don't know informally if Rod, you or Jessica have any feedback on that, but
Yeah, anecdotally, I think we've got a lot of positive messaging. I think probably the most telling one was Jeff Morehouse, who will be right on top of the restaurant. He's like, "You'll probably have trouble keeping me out of there once you get it open." I think that the design's well supported, and I think people in the village just can't wait for it to be populated and up and running.
Yeah, no, the few people that I know that have seen it are extremely positive about it. I just I'm curious if you've gotten
What
more
I see is
feedback
people
from.
stopping and looking and
Okay.
looking at the building, and
Okay.
I let them go about their afternoon, but
Jessica went well.
When prospects come to the village, everyone has said positive things. So, yeah, I haven't had any negative feedback yet. So.
Great.
Okay.
And last thing I'd mention is I am so happy to see we got that vote, that John's got that vote in there. And I love the idea of keeping it yellow.
Yeah, I think we've got some repair work to do on it down in the OC, and then when it's ready to come up, I hear there's a waiting list of Harbor Patrol officers who would love to drive it back up. So that should be fun. We'll have to make sure we have some sort of little ribbon cutting for that boat when it gets.
Only last little comment. I love the banners going up. They're very
Thank
attractive
you.
and they're eye-catching. It's a nice job.
All right, let me pick up on the Harbor Patrol discussion. I like John's calling out of, in a positive way, Officer Winters and his proactive approach to the maintenance. But it made me think about how do we track maintenance? Do we have a maintenance management software? Do we do that paper? Any idea how do we track our
Yeah.
vessel maintenance and other maintenance?
Sergio might be able to help.
We do have a CMSS, a computer maintenance management software. And usually when there's an issue with the boat, Harbor Patrol submits a request, which gets turned over to a work order. And then based on the work order, if it could be remitted inside, we'll do it internal job or we source it out to a company. So there is a way of reporting issues with
Okay,
the boat, yeah.
and tracking it and
And
tracking
tracking it, yeah,
trends.
it keeps track of the hours, what's been done, so we always have like a record of everything that's been done to the boat.
That's what I was hoping to hear.
Okay.
What do you know what
It's the name of the company?
yeah what
It's called
software?
Upkeep.
Upkeep.
Upkeep,
Okay.
yeah.
Yeah, great. That's what I was hoping to hear. So let's see. Capital improvement. One quick question there. I saw the comment in here about Edison contractor fencing kind of impacting our tenant outside of building 1567, and that fencing was supposed to get removed. Did that get removed?
In 1567, it was removed on the 11th, I think.
Okay. And then let's go back to dredging. So you talked about the RFP for Channel Islands is supposed to get released, I think you said, tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
And then for us, end of October is, I think, what we're looking for.
Yeah.
At RFP.
Mr. Gay told me today that as soon as this one goes out, ours is next to go out the door. And okay. I can't remember if he used the words imminent or something indicating it would not lag behind our expectations. Okay.
So the thing to pay attention to is, when does that contract get awarded for Channel Islands? When does the dredge get on site? And then when can we pry them loose to come up here?
Yeah, it's a 30-day advertisement period, at which point they open the bids, probably only be one. They can immediately award it because it's a low-cost bid. There's no negotiation unless the price is too high. And then they go through the process, check insurance, et cetera, and then they issue a notice to proceed. Unfortunately, that's going to fall in right around Thanksgiving. So fingers crossed that the Corps will actually be very timely about doing that, and then Manson would mobilize.
So the expectation that only one bid is why, let's just sole source this thing from the get-go.
That's why the request letter that went out from the agencies, including us, said, it's the only piece of equipment on the West Coast. Why not so?
Yeah, why not? Why are we wasting all this time? Well, be curious to see what they do. All right. Good.
I'm very apologetic. I just found one more issue I had a question about, which is the EPA issuing the vessel incidental discharge national standards. How's that going to impact our harbor? Is there anything that we need to do on that? It's on the bottom, page 24. EPA issues vessel incidental discharge national standards of performance final rule about addressing the release of bacteria, pathogens, oil, grease, and metals, in addition to invasive species that may damage ecosystems and infrastructure. I don't know if that applies to us. Is there anything we need to be aware of with that?
Yeah, I haven't been following that one. Typically, those kinds of things refer more to the larger vessel, like ports kind of thing. The report produced by Carpy and Clay is a report that's common effectively for all the ports and harbors in California. So there's a lot of the individual regulations that apply to more than just us. That one hasn't been flagged by our lobbyists as something to be particularly mindful of, but I can inquire with her.
Thank you.
All right, we will close the staff and general manager reports. We're going to move on to our consent agenda. Typically, the consent agenda is items that are non-controversial and voted on in one action by the board. We have six items in front of us tonight. I'm going to list them briefly. A is an out-of-town travel request. B is a professional services agreement. C is new fishery lease agreement. D, an amendment to a retail lease agreement with one of our village tenants. E, lease agreement, a new lease agreement with the Buenaventura Art Association. And F, a new lease agreement with Junior Explorers. So before we take any other action, let me ask if there's any public comments on the consent agenda. I see no one in the audience. Anybody online who would like to speak to this?
There is no one online, but I wanted to bring up that we did receive a comment letter from owner Tristan Hicks of Junior Explorers Ventura LLC. It was distributed to the commissioners and posted on the website.
Thank you.
I'll move approval of the consent agenda as presented.
I second.
I have a motion and a second. Before I take a vote, I would like to ask a question. On item B, the professional services agreement with Rasmussen, we're spending money and then we're going to get reimbursed. What's the risk that we would not get reimbursed?
So we have correspondence with our insurer, JPIA, based on the specific contract amount that they will reimburse us for that. We're going to turn that into a formal letter from them, but we do have the email correspondence with their affirmative position to reimburse.
Okay. So with that, we're pretty confident we're going to get that reimbursement.
Yes.
All right. So with that, I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda as presented. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the consent agenda is approved, and we can move on to our standard agenda. One item on tonight's standard agenda, and that is a summary of our public workshop that we did on September 14th. So, Brian, I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, and Jessica, you can go ahead and head into the report. Just quick background, of course, the district held a public workshop on Saturday, September 14th, that provided the opportunity for residents, tenants, and our other Harbor stakeholders to directly engage with the board and management team and actively participate in the workshop topics, including parking management implementation, harbor sustainability and resiliency, public safety, and economic development. So we have for you on the screen, looking from each of the four topics that were discussed, a compilation from staff's perspective of all of the notes that were gathered, but part of bringing it to you is to do a couple things. One is to memorialize it, all of that great feedback, and then also see if you have things that you were all co-opted as facilitators by me and did a great job. So you may have some notes or some thoughts or things that you remember in addition to what we have here. But we'll start off with the parking discussion. Also the survey, we have some slides on the survey results. That was the real-time survey that Will McReynolds helped us out with on that. So under parking management and revenue allocation, we've got four comments here. I don't know if there's multiple pages on this, but there are. I'm getting the head nod. Parking management revenue. Net revenue should be reinvested to benefit locals and visitors, such as improving facilities and funding amenities like water taxi or shuttle. It could also be used to fund special events to attract visitors. Net revenue could also be used to fund promotions, parking lot maintenance, additional wayfinding, map signage, and accessibility improvements. On the topic of validation, there were numerous questions about how weather visitor parking validation will be implemented, including who will be financially responsible for funding visitor validation, meaning businesses and or the district or some combination thereof, including discussion on whether partial validation would be successful. And several proposals suggest introducing annual passes for parking or water taxis. Three, employee safety and parking. Concerns arose regarding employee safety, especially for those parking in remote lots and walking after dark. Ideas include shuttle or other services to assist employees, such as security escort for employees to return to their cars and having designated areas for employee parking. Visitor convenience. Number four, need to make the user experience as convenient as possible. Provide clear and extensive signage is crucial to guide visitors and avoid frustration. Some commenters questioned the parking hours with suggestions to adjust them to better suit visitor needs and attract more locals. It was suggested that using the same mobility apps and equipment as the city uses could make it easier for local visitors. And five, seasonality and flexibility. Program might need to be seasonal to account for shifts in visitor demographics, particularly in winter when the visitors are more likely locals. Flexibility and hours of operation was suggested, with room to expand or reduce depending on observed demand. Management of lots, management oversight of parking areas, particularly Parcel A, which is at Harbor and Schooner, and the old dry storage, which is on Anchors Way Drive, are necessary. Oversized and free parking, management of oversized vehicles and overnight parking are points of concern. Transportation options, strong support for reintroducing a water taxi service or using shuttles to reduce parking congestion. Trolley services and bike rentals are suggested to enhance connectivity around the area. And enforcement need to be a balance between strict enforcement, towing and fines, and flexibility, grace periods, easy-to-use apps. In summary, while there was support for the parking management provided, there was careful consideration for employee parking, validation, employee safety, visitor convenience, signage, flexible enforcement, and reinvestment of net revenue into visitor-serving benefits. And I think that is it. Survey question one. At Harbor Village, the parking program could include the option of validation with a purchase from a Harbor Village business. In your opinion, there were three choices, A, B, or C. A, validation for any time spent at the harbor is essential, even if there is less revenue for additional services. 54% validation on all-day passes is more beneficial because it will encourage beach users to patronize the village, even if there is less revenue for additional services. That was 33% of the respondents. And then C, Don't favor validation because reinvestment in inner harbor transportation and other public amenities is more important. That was about 12%. So that is everything on parking, and I can go through all four and then come back to the four. How would, Mr. Chair, how would you like to
I think I'd
have
prefer
me proceed?
To turn it over to the commissioners, and we talk about
each
one
topic?
Individually,
okay.
And then
all
we
right.
can, at
sure.
the end of that, we'll open up the public comments
so,
also. But
Jessica, then why don't you go back to the first of the two pages on the on our notes and start there.
So, commissioners, as Brian said, this is we're kind of memorializing the feedback that we received at the public workshop, but this is an opportunity for us to kind of reinforce key points. So anybody want to share any thoughts on that, on parking?
My only comment is around parking. I think it's the difference between the purpose of, for lack of a better word, management and regulation is to manage a scarce resource as opposed to, I see the net revenue and the like. And of course, I like money, so that's always a good thing. But on the other hand, there were comments about whether that would dissuade people from coming, no matter how small it is. So I think that really needs to be weighed. Are we using it as a parking management tool, which I think it would be very, very helpful, more so than to using the revenues from it to do other things. So I just wanted to voice that. Again, I think that using it as a tool to manage scarce resources and then looking and seeing that if it's not used and it inhibits visitors and everything, that we may want to be able to have such a system that, hey, it goes down in order to do.
Yeah. Maybe just a quick reminder too, the parking management program in and around the village area and the beach lots that's now approved with the coastal development permit by the city is for free parking Monday through Thursday in all areas, not in the North Harbor, meaning launch ramp area. So beaches and village. And paid parking on Friday, Saturday, Sundays on holidays from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. So that's what's approved by the city. And Spinnaker Drive is not a part of the program. So Spinnaker Drive is not for overnight parking, but for the hours that it is open, it remains a open public city street with no paid parking. So it is free parking.
Jackie.
So one of the things that I know came up at my table's conversation wasn't just, it was about messaging, but it wasn't just about signs, but more the timeline for of the implementation messaging, making sure that individuals know well in advance what's coming and all. And I'm not sure that made it into here, kind of a messaging timeline of sorts, as well as what the messages are going to be
during the rollout, and
during the rollout,
leading up to and including the rollout periods.
Correct.
So kind of education and.
Correct. Yeah, okay. And I know that came up, especially for the restaurants. They also wanted, what was it, a QR code where complaints could be sent directly to you guys. Like the city had that QR code that they brought up at the meeting. And so they're like, because I think their concern is, I don't want the blowback. We want it to go someplace else. So if we could create a QR code for communication with the district directly, and they can just say, go there
yeah.
with your complaints. So I think those are two things that came up in the context of our conversations. And obviously the validation was very important to the business members that were in the group that I was in.
Yeah, that was the first thing on my list was the rollout. That needs to be more explicitly addressed. The rollout.
The what?
The rollout.
The rollout.
Yeah.
The rollout.
A couple other things, and it's not specific. It's kind of alluded to in here is The concept of some sort of a shuttle running from a remote lot 19A to the village. And then the last thing that I have a note here, and this was very specific to my group, so that's why I have the note. The Park Service said they will not participate in a validation program. I think that's important to think about. I know it's more, we're all village centric, but I think that's just something that we need to kind of recognize. You know, I don't know if that was our intent ever, but.
Yeah, I can actually address that. We do have a three-party agreement with Park Service, and their boss, Ethan McKinley, has said he wants to do a validation program in which folks who visit the visitor center will be validated for, let's say, maybe a two-hour period of time at Park, like at the Harbor Cove Beach, because our agreement with them is for basically Harbor Cove Beach area to provide parking, mm-hmm. overflow parking for the visitor center, which really doesn't have any of its own parking.
Chris, could you repeat what you heard from the Park Service reps?
Well, they were quite clear. They did not want to participate in the validation program. That's what they said. It was
so we have a mixed message here.
Yeah. Well, but he's the boss.
Yeah. This has been communicated to the park superintendent and discussed with them.
Elizabeth?
First, I wanted to commend staff for pulling this all together. That was a tremendous amount of data, a lot of overlap, but a lot of very different things. So good job. Question on, because the one about employee safety and parking, is it envisioned that they will park in 19A? Where are they concerned?
There'll likely be multiple opportunities. 19A is probably the least likely because of its distance. There is the Dolphin Lot, which is already by agreement with the Port District free parking between the district and Safe Harbor. We have 150 spaces in that lot. There's also the, I believe it's the Turtle Lot, which is on, which is within the Marina West 2, so close to the, just north of the Yacht Club area. Right. We have an agreement with them to provide overflow parking for the Island Packers folks, and it's possible they may use that for their employees as well. And then there's Spinnaker Drive, which will be free 7 days a week. We already do, if someone asks, provide a security walk to someone's car. We already do that. So that's something we would probably, well, we will continue. We may need to expand it.
Yeah, with the areas you're describing, to me, it's less of an issue. They're fairly, usually typically busy and fairly well lit. And if we're already providing services.
Yeah,
then,
I might want to look at the lighting between the Dolphin Lot and, say, Andrea's, that stretch there, to make sure we're very well lit, as opposed to just, you know, okay lit.
Yep.
40 feet.
You know, and make sure that we've got good lighting in there.
And in terms of the trolley and the water taxi and so on, I know, you know, we're all sensitive to the economics on that. So I think I'd be looking to your lead of what makes sense, particularly talking with tenants and so on.
Yeah, generally speaking, a land-based shuttle is a lot less costly than a water taxi, which requires a Coast Guard licensed captain. And there has been some preliminary research done by the portside staff to look at that. It was very costly. So there's still interest in that. I think there's a great, you know, potential synergy connecting the different parts, but I think in terms of really moving people around at a fairly efficient rate, land-based shuttles are going to be maybe not as glamorous, but more efficient.
Okay, a couple of points I'd like to emphasize. Tony brought up the managing a scarce resource, and I reflect back on the consent agenda we just approved. We're bringing the Explorers group in here, so we got parents taking little kids. You know, they're gonna need a place to park when they bring the kids in there. They're not gonna want to drive around for 20 minutes. So, you know, we come back to that. How do we best manage this scarce resource? So I think that's a fundamental goal of this. And I understand it's limited to the weekends, but those are the most challenging times.
Mm-hmm.
The top priority I heard throughout the workshop, and as I look at the notes, is this thing's got to work, right? There's nothing more frustrating than you finally find your parking spot, but you can't get on the website or you can't get the app to load, you know, so that goes back to some of the infrastructure discussions, mm-hmm. you know, the Wi-Fi in the village area. So as we implement, we got to make sure, and we got to roll it out slow and do a lot of testing to make sure this thing works.
Yeah, we are looking at some phasing opportunities, and we'll be bringing that back to the board for further discussion. But I sort of envision rolling this out in the North Harbor first with the equipment, where we have lesser number of daily visitors to be able to put that equipment in motion, test it out, make sure the Wi-Fi and other things are working properly, before expanding it into other parts of the harbor. But we'll come back with some more thoughts on that. But on this side of the harbor, launch ramp is already a 7 day a week paid parking. So that would give us a chance over here to put new equipment in place, test it out, try it, see how things are working before moving it on to the much higher profile parts of the harbor, the beaches and the village area.
Last comment is I heard loud and clear from participants at the public workshop that everybody thought validation was a key. So we still have to figure out how that works, what that means, but everybody wanted some type of validation. So I think we got homework to do there.
Yeah, and we certainly have, heard that, seen that, and what we're looking at is the current paid parking rate will be $1 an hour. At what point do you validate? And that sort of makes sense. And I think that'll be, a lot of this feedback obviously will be part of our thinking when we come back to you. But part of that question on the questionnaire was to talk a little bit about all day parking versus hourly parking, and get a feel for some of the feedback on that.
Well, Todd, you're going to a conference on parking management and parking technology, and so maybe you can get some more insight on all that. All right. I think we're good with
I'm excited.
Anybody else want to
close off the
join?
parking discussion. You want to move on to your next topic? And
Sure. Happy to.
a public comment, I think I can do it at the end. Yeah. I mean, I know they're busting on the door, but we'll hold them at bay.
All right, on to topic two, harbor sustainability and resiliency. How can the district and Master Village tenants and residents collaborate to increase recycling and reduce reliance on single-use materials such as plastics, migrate vehicles, vessels, equipment to zero emissions technologies without disrupting business operations and impacting job opportunities and profitability? Develop policies and programs to improve resiliency for the harbor. Examples: improved infrastructure standards, building and marina design, dunes restoration, commercial and recreational vessel pump out systems, etc. And our feedback, comments focused on sustainability, infrastructure, environmental challenges, emphasis on electric charging stations, recycling, storm preparedness, impacts of climate events like sea level rise. Number one, sustainability initiatives, much discussion on expanding electric vehicles use in public areas and also in Ventura Harbor North. There was also the discussion about providing EV charging for boats, opportunities to expand solar power in parking lots, promote zero emissions technologies, and integrate electrification into marina infrastructure, encouragement of aquaculture partnerships to diversify harbor activities and increase sustainability. Two, recycling and waste management, enhancing recycling programs, better signage, more bins, especially along beach and paths, education for tenants and visitors, discussion about composting, reuse materials, balancing ecotourism opportunities with the cost and space required. Comment regarding state and local regulations already impose strict requirements for recycling and waste management, and concern that imposing additional requirements which add cost to the district and its tenants could be a concern. Concerns raised about trash in the harbor, stagnant water, potentially adding additional in-water trash collection technology. Pump out facilities also discuss suggestions for additional pump out locations in areas more readily accessible to larger boats. And a few more, storm preparedness and resiliency, concerns over the impact of storms, sea level rise, tsunami on marine infrastructure, discussions on pile height, structural designs, need for emergency planning, such as better collaboration with city for storm events, particularly affecting navigator, but also sand removal and levee maintenance. Emphasis on improving harbor's resiliency with policies regarding beach and dune restoration, storm management, contingency plans. And number four, alternative transportation infrastructure, proposals for improved bike paths, expanding promenade for e-bikes, walking, enhancing public transportation, trolleys, water taxis, which We talked a bit about discussions on adding more EV charging stations, which is what you heard in our departmental reports at the village, which we manage directly, especially new developments integrating charging stations into parking areas that aren't prime parking areas. General harbor management, concerns about recycling container accessibility, need for clean water circulation, and managing homeless activity around recycling areas. Interest in expanding community serving amenities like farmer market, daily draws to the harbor, and visitors' ability to provide feedback on their experience with managed parking. So parking made its way into this one. In summary, focuses on promoting sustainability through electric infrastructure recycling, improving storm resiliency, and enhancing alternative transportation while addressing environmental challenges like waste management and climate change impacts. And I think that is our overview, the survey results. The question was, do you think the district should provide additional meetings, workshops regarding sustainability options? I'm interested in seeing businesses, I'm sorry, here are the options. I am interested in seeing businesses phase out single-use materials and disposable plastics. That got 4%. I am interested in learning more about zero-emission technologies and infrastructure. That got 12%. Of our respondents, I believe suitable technologies is out there, and the district intends to invest in modernizing their vehicle and vessel fleets now, 8%, and the majority of 76% said all of the above. So there you go. Let's go back up to the first page of the notes and turn it to you.
Commissioners, want to clarify anything, emphasize anything? Jackie?
Just one point. Having a lot of restaurant owners in my group, it was clear, despite me thinking it's low-hanging fruit, to have restaurants switch over to multi-use, you know, getting rid of plastic and styrofoam, et cetera. That is not something that they felt was economically feasible. So I think it's, and I understand their position that both the state and the county and local regulations already put requirements on them that are meant to encourage what we're moving towards. So it was helpful for me to hear directly from them. And while I'm going to continue to encourage and put that forward, it seems like a more challenging way for us to meet some of our kind of goals.
All right. Elizabeth, you want to add something?
Certainly for the health of the harbor, I agree with the concerns about trash in the harbor, and I think solutions for trash and stagnant water are definitely worth investigating. I know they've got one particular unit over at Ventura Isle. I don't know what anybody else is doing, but I got to say, where they have that one unit, the water's pretty clean, but it's small. And then pump out facilities are always a big issue of mine, making sure they're available to people. And I think, as you know, marinas right now, the only opportunity we're going to have is Ventura West. But as marinas and leases and so on are looked at, like the fuel dock and so on, we need to keep this in mind to minimize people wanting to dump into the harbor.
Elizabeth, could you clarify that? The collection unit you're talking about, Ventura, that's a little trash collector. It's almost like a drain.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Chris, Tony. All right. I have nothing else to add, so we will move on to the next topic.
Okay, so we had a little break between session one and two, and then session two started off with public safety and a couple of topics here. One, criminal conduct. How could the district, Master Village tenants, and harbor residents collaborate to deter and reduce criminal activity, theft, violence, trespassing, illegal lodging, intoxication, and its impacts to the visitor, employee, and resident experience? Secondly, was homelessness. What resources may be available to help serve the homeless population needs in the harbor area? And then third was inner harbor and beach management. How can the district and our Master Village tenants and harbor residents collaborate to safely manage the growing interest a number of harbor uses on land, water, commercial vessels, recreational boats, electric boats, kayaks, stand-up paddle boards, beach recreation clubs, sponsored events, vendors, etc. We're becoming a more and more popular destination, which is great, but that also comes with it some management needs as well. Here's some of the feedback that we got. I think it's all on one page on this one. The comments highlight safety concerns, homelessness, and the need for better coordination between the district tenants and the public in the harbor, in particular, the need for more education and communication. Under safety and security, improvements need to be needed for night safety, better lighting, additional security patrols, emergency call boxes. Coordination between Harbor Patrol and City Police is critical for faster response times. There's also a need for clarification to our stakeholders on jurisdictional roles and responsibilities between the harbor and city police, for example. Perhaps a police department representative could meet with tenants. Public restrooms are a safety concern, especially at the public launch ramp, particularly at night, with suggestion for security upgrades like coded entry and increased surveillance. Number two, homelessness. Homelessness is a recurring issue with discussions about working with local agencies like Turning Point Foundation to offer mental health resources and partnering with the city to address encampments. Ideas include charging stations, removing bushes that provide hiding areas, security, hiring security to monitor problem areas, especially restrooms. City has a vagrancy working group, building a database on individuals causing safety concerns. Can this be used along with other efforts between the city and leveraged by the district? Public education for water safety. This is number three. Increase education, need for safe use of rental boats, paddle boards, kayaks, focus on enforcing safety rules, especially in high wind events. Enhanced signage and boating classes were suggested to ensure public awareness of harbor safety. Facilitate a meeting between Inner Harbor water vendors to discuss best practices. Collaboration, this is number four, and resources, partnering with larger agencies for resource and hosting meetings with police intends to provide lists of available services, annual forums with vendors to address issues and solutions regarding water management, rental operations, and commercial activities. Summary focuses on improving safety, discouraging criminal activity, addressing homelessness, better defining jurisdictional roles, and enhancing public education for safe harbor use. And survey, do you think the district should create new policies or rules governing the operation of personal watercraft, kayaks, paddleboards, pedal boats, etc. for the Inner Harbor? And then on this one, we gave them three choices. I'm regularly in the Inner Harbor waters and have experienced issues where others have acted in a way where I have felt unsafe. That was 20%. B, I am regularly in the Inner Harbor waters but have not had any negative experiences related to others in the water. That was also 20%. And our third choice was that I'm not regularly in the water, and that was 60% of our respondents. So with that, we'll go back up to the first page. Well, I guess in this case, the one page, and turn it back to you.
Commissioners, thoughts on this presentation?
It's kind of specific, but one item that I had a note of was they really thought the life jacket loaner program was great and should be expanded if needed.
Elizabeth?
I think they're all excellent suggestions, and I'd love to see them prioritized and taking on what we can take on. In terms of the harbor safety, most of the people there weren't on the water. I know John says statistically there's no real issue, and he's correct. Statistically, the biggest problem is most of the things don't get reported because people aren't on their boats when they're getting hit. So I think it's more of an issue than we're able to recognize. That goes along with this, though, that I think these are all excellent suggestions.
Tony.
There was just a small, few comments about the paddle boats and the like, and the fact that if someone takes one of those, hits and damages someone else's boat, and it was explained to me that, I called their insurance, and then I talked to my insurance and it went back and forth and nothing got settled. And I had to basically foot the bill. And they basically were saying that they didn't think that the folks that run the paddle boats really managed it as well as they should. And even questions as, you know, maybe people are too young who are out there and are not being very, very, very careful with that. But they basically said that they really need to look at that because one of them said they did damage my boat and I didn't get anything from either my insurance or their insurance. Who do I go to about this?
Related to that topic, if we wanted to ask the vendors to have on the water supervision, do we have to wait for their leases to come up in order to do that?
I don't know. I think it's part of a bigger question about, you know, about the overall education and topics such as that. I think it's probably less about one specific point and probably a broader discussion about all of the points, I think. I mean, I doubt our lease is going to be that specific about, you know, about something of that nature. We're certainly, you know, able to share all this information with the operator that we manage, and also the one that we don't manage, which is through Portside, and share this feedback with them and look for their partnership on making this, you know, a fun and a safe place to do all these activities.
The one comment that was loud and clear in the group that I was in is how vagrancy will taking over restrooms or digging through the trash just makes families uncomfortable. We're gearing ourselves to be a family destination. And so I think that's got to be a continued focus of the staff of how do we, you know, you can't eliminate it. It's a problem throughout California, but how do we manage that issue here through more robust security presence, maybe more control over those restrooms, especially late at night. So just think that's a issue that I'm looking for staff to focus on and bring back some ideas on how to ramp up on that.
Sure.
All right. So let's close the security discussion, safety concerns, and we'll move on to the next topic.
Sure. And I think this will be the last of the four, which is economic development. We did have some specific questions for them regarding the commercial fisheries master plan, what user groups, in addition to commercial fishers and aquaculture firms, should be considered part of the master planning efforts. Examples could be a public fish market, offices, retail, gathering spaces, public restrooms, speaking of which. What actions should the district take to minimize construction impacts nearby residents and preserve business continuity for existing commercial fishers, restaurants, retail, and office users? The obvious here is that we already have a commercial fisheries building, and the plan would be for that to be replaced. So obviously, we have to work with our tenants and restaurants to maintain continuity in what is a pretty ambitious project. And also we have quite a few residents that don't live too far from this area as well. Commercial tenant mix and events, what type of retail, restaurant, entertainment, other tenants would you like to see the district pursue for village vacancies? District provides a number of year-round events and activities. What other types of events and activities would you like the district to pursue? Parcel 5 Park, this is the grassy area next to our restaurants and wine bars. What amenities should the district prioritize given the potential need to phase in some elements due to cost considerations? Example, performance stage, amphitheater seating, windscreens, playground equipment, picnic areas, vendor booth areas, etc. And feedback is here for you. Comments focused on enhancing harbor experience through improved attracting tenants that can provide unique experience, improved amenities and event planning, preserving local character, include the need for streamlined process with the city for permitting, new projects in the harbor. Wouldn't we all like that, particularly for the commercial fishing project? Number one, permitting and development, expedite city permitting. I don't know if there was as I read through these, going back to that jurisdictional issue, or just, pressing upon us to do whatever we can to help the city to speed things up. Expedite city permitting and inspections to avoid delays, especially for public safety and construction projects. Ensure development aligns with the community's identity, preventing over-gentrification, maintaining harbor's local vibe. Number two, business and commercial growth. Diversify commercial tenants with interest in adding eateries like deli coffee shops, creating more family-friendly spaces and activities. Suggestions were to attract unique tenants, aquarium, Trader Joe's, Fast, what does that say? Fast Burgers, Amazon, shipping station, children, family activities, entertainment. Events and attractions, develop Parcel 5 with event stages, seating, playgrounds, family-oriented businesses. There's a need for public gathering space, increase events throughout the year, especially in the off-season, focus on community-centric activities, return events like a weekday farmers market, pirate days, boat shows, concerts, family-oriented events and festivities, high school band competitions, cheer, etc. Events should partner with tenants where possible. Ensure events don't alter the harbor character while attracting local and younger demographics. That seems to be a common theme. Events also create parking challenges. We do hear that at the same time we hear bring more events. Explore paid parking as a value-added service with some net revenue dedicated to event activities, fisheries infrastructure. Develop the fisheries master plan, expanding seafood markets and create public spaces for education gathering, address impacts of construction, good public information on the project, support aquaculture, maintain working waterfront, ensure the area remains viable for commercial activities, include educational components for the public about fishing, be mindful of the impacts of additional truck traffic on the project, from the project. In summary, priorities include streamlining development process, attracting diverse business, hosting more events, enhancing fisheries sector, and ensuing new developments retain local community's character.
All right. Thank you for the summary. Yeah. Commissioner's thoughts on this one?
Well, let's see. I got to give you the survey here. Question four, district continues to invest in modernized projects in Harbor Village, commercial fishing complex, as well as working with master tenants to facilitate improvements harbor-wide. Three choices here for our participants. The district should prioritize its resources to attract more visitors and Ventura residents through events, activities, and developing a premier gathering space. That was 40%. District should prioritize investment in additional modernization projects and continue to refresh and enhance the harbor, 32%. And C, a district should balance its use of resources rather than focus on one of these in particular. That was 28%.
Now I'll turn it over to the commission. Jackie, you want to start?
Okay, well, one of the things that came up in our group was demographics. And the demographic of foot traffic. Yes, the older generations have more income. They may have more time, but you have a younger group that if you miss attracting them here for economic development, it's going to be like Sears. It's never going to come back.
It's like what?
It's like Sears. It's never going to come back.
Who?
They're the Amazon crowd. It was basically that they thought that we need to really look at a strategy that does both. And one of the things they really complimented us on is bringing events for children and the schools. They really like that to kind of build on, hey, this is in my city, this is in my area, I get to go here and have fun, and that perhaps we need to look at the other high school, maybe younger folks. I mean, it's been so long since I was that. I can't remember. But basically they were concerned, like the venues. What do young people people of one generation go to versus another. Eating establishments, you can get some of all in there, but they basically, some of them said, you really need to watch this. And perhaps it's the market that dictates this with the type of businesses that want to locate there. You know, it may not, you know, because someone said, well, that's really not the port's responsibility. And they go, yeah, but in terms of marketing and things like that, mm-hmm. that's one of the things that came up. And I think it hits that. The other thing is fisheries and infrastructure. Everybody had an interest in that. I mean, in my group, they knew. They knew about that. That it's important. And I think when you look at the news stories and everything, and you're looking at, nowadays I look at stories about ports and what they're doing, aquaculture, and the like. That's a very important one, and I think I've loved the education and gatherings because I think that the public should be educated on that. But I think it was events and attractions, business and commercial growth, and I agree with you, Brian. Permitting and development. I don't think they understand that we don't do permits and things like that. We can perhaps at best influence, but we can't do that.
Yeah. Just quickly on your first point, and of course this was held on September 12th, 14th. And, you know, just looking at our own agenda tonight, new office lease with Buenaventura Art Association for art classroom activities that's going to take over a space. Our new lease with the Junior Explorer, so amongst the very, very, very youngest of us, opportunities for toddlers to now have opportunities here at the village. And, of course, as we talked about earlier, the Loose Cannon and the repositioning of that into a brand new arcade for kids of all ages, and a restaurant. So I think we're heading in that direction. Some of these other ones are bigger things like park development that are going to take, you know, several years and lots of funding to make happen. But I think we're already starting to see some diversification of the demographics and some of the leases you approved recently and some things opening up. So just some feedback.
Yeah, I think just two things out of my group. One, when we talked about Parcel 5, lots of excitement about Parcel 5. And if we were prioritizing what to do on Parcel 5, the bandstand was one of the top priorities. The other thing that came up, and it's here in the notes, but I'm curious about it. And Jennifer, I don't want to put you on the spot for this, but there is lots of talks about doing more events, and I feel like when I look at our staff report, we have a lot of events. So I'm curious what the disconnect is between the event calendar that we have and what the businesses perceive as necessary. It felt like a disconnect to me. And I also, and Jennifer, correct me if I'm wrong, but we do try to do them year round. Some of them are part of the natural kind of seasonal piece, holiday piece. And sometimes we're put in a hard position because of weather in the off. But so I'm curious.
And parking.
And parking.
Parking does come up quite a bit with our own tenants who sometimes will prioritize parking over an event or events.
So we have an event, but they can't get to the restaurant.
So we sort of have to right-size the events to the scale of this harbor.
Yeah.
You know, we get a lot of a variety of requests and opportunities that have to really work within the confines of this. And yes, we do try to spread those out throughout the calendar year. There's definitely people who want to be, you know, in peak season. And for us, it's like, okay, you want to be, you know, put on an event in a Saturday in July. Well, the parking lot's already full.
Yeah.
All right. So how are we going to accommodate? So we may not even need an event on that day, but Jennifer, feel free to add a little more if you want to, but those are some of the complexities and the push and pull that we'll get. Well, that event came in, but it took, you know, and you had people at the parking entries telling them no event parking and they got to go this way. And we work really hard to move the cars to different locations, both for setup and for participants, but at the same time, wanting those participants to be here to enjoy the harbor. And not just have an event here and then everybody leave, but have them feel like they're welcome and go to dinner, go to lunch, do all the activities we want. So do you want to add any more?
Good evening, Chairman, Commissioners. Thank you for the question. Yes, as we talked about in our presentation, I believe last meeting about the fees increase? Well, anyway, approval fees. Callie had mentioned we counted up, we did 70 some permits last year in events, and that's permitting offsite, not including the ones we produce in house. And I think Brian also, it's really funny because he'll be in these meetings with us too weekly, and we're like, okay, here's the 10 moving parts for this one thing that we have to evaluate. And there's so many moving pieces to that. We always try to accommodate. We do keep the tenants very much informed with our tenant newsletter monthly. We always have our website updated as much as possible looking forward. And we do take their input on the annual survey for events too, to see where their interests lie. I know there's been a lot of discussion about continuing to move things off season, and you're absolutely right, is that we try our best. Weather does play a role. And of course, the last two winters haven't been very kind. So we do really push things to fall. We really try to populate fall as much as possible. It's our best, we call our best season for post-summer and true California summer. So we're looking to really engage in those conversations. Brian tasked us with bringing back the Bowl of Thanks, and we're doing that this year, November 9th and 10th. So I think that's going to be an excellent event. Again, taking, you know, like you said, staff time, and we're cooperating we're working together to get this done and make sure that the event is visible. People know it's moved now back to the Harbor Village and it's expanded. So there's a lot of moving parts, but we're very excited to take these goals and look ahead and see what we can do.
Yeah. One other goal that was in the visitation plan that you approved this year was to partner with the tenants more on events that they want to put on, so that they're vested. It helps their business, and obviously it helps the businesses at the village, you know, when they have an event. So this is an example of one of those events where then we can leverage each other's staff in terms of working together to put on an event. It's interesting feedback, because I think there's always the comment might always be there's never enough. There could always be more, but we do have the constraints of, you know, seasonality and parking and some other things. So,
And that's what my question was. Was it not so much more events, but different events?
Yeah, and I think, you know, both that we go outwards, we try to bring in new events. We try to go outwards and say, what do we want to have here? But also, how does it work with our harbor vibe? As I saw in the notes here, talks about that. We really do look to see what's a fit. We have about four current event applications we're reviewing right now to see, again, if this is a fit and how this might work for the village and also our tenants, because we do work with Todd and Jessica on looking at what our tenants will think about these particular activities in this space. So there are a lot of components, but we're open to new suggestions and also looking to expand a lot in the September to December months. We found the January, February, March, we needed to just be a little bit more stable in the weather, but we do have our March's Mermaid Month, which is off season too, and looking to see what new ideas come to play. Thank you.
Jennifer, we've gotten a little bit of feedback too with
one more for you.
We've gotten a little bit of feedback too with regards to the promenade is kind of the popular busy area.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I've worked with Jennifer and Ruby and Callie and Susan on is doing some inner courtyard entertainment. And as is often the case, they come up with a creative name and a program based off of an idea. So I know they've got
acoustic courtyard concerts.
Yes, here we
And
go.
that will be, we'll be introducing those very soon. And there we have four dates set between now and December, in which we'll have guitarists. They'll still be amplified to attract, but it'll be focused on some fun guitarists in different courtyards.
Yeah, and I think some of that actually came back from our tenant-wide survey that we did a couple months back. You know, it's like, well, their events are great, but you know, in my area of the village, it's quiet, right? So
yeah,
that's so we're in some ways beginning to implement some of these things already, and I'm looking forward to the acoustic courtyard series.
And then Wayne and I just did a walk around 2 days ago, and looking at all the courtyards to expand the decor for the Halloween events this weekend. So we have a touch base in each of the corridors,
yeah,
and each of the courtyards actually.
All good. I look forward to that too. You talked about off season, right? But one of the things I heard at this workshop was we're so busy on weekends, but Wednesdays are dead, right? Is it really practical, or is there small scale events that we can do midweek to attract people? How realistic
question.
Is that?
That's a great question. We brought back our Waterfront Wednesdays in the peak season this year, and they did fairly well. We saw a bump up in Wednesday kind of afternoon attention. I think we made some key decisions that we'll move it to afternoons versus some morning, bringing that series back. We had a Seaside Kids Club that we used to do on Thursday. So we would like to maybe talk about that again. Again, kids have to be a little bit out of school for those type of things to happen midweek, or you have to do them late afternoon, you know, to kind of engage the parents and the kids, or you can do toddlers too. And maybe we'll do a touch base with explorers on that too. So there are opportunities for those type of things, you know, looking at the type of tenants we're now getting in the harbor. We'll be working with Loose Cannon to see how they do in the evenings, what kind of, you know, programming they might have. We've already talked about live music. Is that going to be something they're going to be bringing in the evenings? So we're always trying to also work with our tenants to say, what can we help amplify midweek? But we could always do more entertainment and things like that. There are some similar locations to us. We call them our sister properties that are along the waterfront, like ours, that do have like daily entertainment, or, you know what I mean? So you can go that direction. We would just have to look at how that would be funded.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll fund it.
Yeah.
I realize every event takes a lot of planning and coordination, but what you do is keeps the crowds coming. So it's critical to the harbor. So appreciate all your hard work.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that I think that you are, any criticism is you are to a degree a victim of your own success, that because you have, when you do have these events, you do bring in a lot of people and the village does feel the positive impact from it. So if there's not an event, they feel the lack of it. So it's actually kind of a compliment to the work that you're doing.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. I will say that some of the events like Parade of Lights before my time getting here, they did do it to 2 days. And I think that's very smart. Gives that opportunity to give a little bit more breathing space on Friday and give the locals, we call it the locals night. And then, you know, the Saturday you've got the high crowds, and really, I don't think you could ever take it back to just one night. So it really, there's events like that and Pirate Days we used to produce that had to go 2 days just because you want to, you know, you want to have a good experience when you come. We're very mindful of that, and we want people to enjoy themselves and walk away happy. Thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer. It's the one comment I want to make on this whole topic is we've been talking about Parcel 5 in the commission meetings a long time, and I think the board has been pretty excited about the concept that you've brought forward. I was curious going into the public workshop what kind of feedback we'd get, and it was very enthusiastic, I think, certainly at my table. But what I heard from all the comments is I think universally it was, hey, that's the right thing for the harbor. Let's figure out how to make that happen. Mm-hmm. So I was happy to see that kind of universal feedback, and hope we can, you know, keep that on the front burner and keep that thing progressing. So any other comments on this particular topic? Any commissioners? All right. So, Brian, I think you're through these comments.
Yeah, I mean, the only summary I had is what we said in the staff report, which was, you know, and I think I said at the beginning in part two, which is part of this is to memorialize the event. I think to a degree, celebrate the success of the event. I think the number of participants was great. I think we all worked hard to get folks there. And have them participate. The feedback I got is they, you know, these meetings are formal by state law requirements, Brown Act requirements, everything that you know, we did the educational component on. And even though that was a formal meeting as well in terms of the way the format was created, because there was no other Port District business to be conducted other than the workshop. They really enjoyed that ability to interact with you, I think with staff, just be able to talk, you know, not have to be at a podium for 3 minutes and really engage. And so I think we got a lot of good feedback from that perspective. So very consistent with our civic and public engagement plan, I think, as well, and our five-year objectives. And you know, as we talk through a lot of these things, a few of these things between the survey done in August and now, there's little things that the staff's already doing that are not big, you know, budget expenses. There's other things that have much more budgetary impacts. But, you know, this, I think, helps the board and helps us to begin to look to the next budget year and help to prioritize some things. So.
Well said. Speaking of the of public feedback and public participation in a workshop, do we have any other public comments tonight? I don't see anybody in the audience. Do we have anybody online? All right. So we will close the public communications. So, commissioners, this was a receive and file the update, but we also have minutes that are there for approval. So I'm looking for a motion to accept and approve those minutes and the summary that we just went through tonight.
Second.
So I have a motion and a second to receive and file the report and approve the minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, those the report is accepted and approved, and the minutes are approved. And I thank everybody for being here tonight and their participation. And we will see everybody on November 20th. So only one meeting in November. So enjoy some time off. Well, time off from this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Adjourned.
Thank you.